Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I thank the Ohio Ecclesia for giving me the opportunity to take this talk on Proverbs 6, verse 18. And I bring the love of all those back in Boston and the Foxborough Ecclesia who couldn't be here with us. Often we are asked questions, or brothers are asked to speak on topics that they may be unfamiliar with, and it helps us to study something maybe we weren't so clear on ourselves. So like I said, my verse was the last half of Proverbs 6 and 18. Brother Jim covered the first half, but the whole verse states, "In heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and my part is feet that be swift in running to mischief." I think it's worth it to take a look at the dictionary's definition of the word mischief before we get into this. And there's seven different definitions I've come up with. Number one, conduct or activity that playfully causes petty annoyance. Or two, a tendency or disposition to tease, vex, or annoy. Number three, a vexatious or annoying action. Four, harm or trouble, especially as a result of an agent or cause. Five, an injury or evil caused by a person or other agent or cause. Six, a cause or source of harm, evil, or annoyance. And then seven was the devil, which we'll call the adversary. It's also important to understand the word swift, which is moving or capable of moving with great speed or velocity or rapid. So after breaking down a few of these words, we can draw the conclusion that this verse is stating, Yahweh hates those who quickly seek to cause harm or evil to a person, or that Yahweh hates those who just try to annoy people or be a pest and are quick to act in this behavior. It is an abomination. The root cause of falling into mischief is a lack of the fear of God. Proverbs 28 and 14 states, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." The fear of God will keep us from entertaining the spirit of mischief, for the fear of God is to hate evil. Those who do not fear God cannot hate evil, and their minds are constantly searching for new ways to sin. They even lie awake at night devising mischievous schemes. Psalm 36, verses 1 through 4, which we just read, reads, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good, and he abhorreth not evil." God says that his children work mischief against him when they pursue the ways of other gods instead of maintaining his righteous paths. Hosea 7, verses 13 through 16 says, "Woe unto them, for they have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. And they have not cried unto me with their heart, when they howled upon their beds. They assemble themselves for corn and wine, and they rebel against me. Though I have bound and strengthened their arms, yet do they imagine mischief against me. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. Their princes shall fall by the sword for the rage of their tongue. This shall be their derision in the land of Egypt." Here, brothers and sisters, we can clearly see God's attitude towards those who choose to cause mischief. Whenever any child of God fails to walk in the Spirit, he is following the spirit of mischief, which always leads to trouble. It is clear from the scriptures that mischievousness is evil. It is as much evil as peacefulness is good. Mischief brings about an end of peace. It is pursued by those who do not want peace. Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God," in Matthew 5 and 9. You can find that in the Beatitudes. I think it's fair to say, cursed are the mischief makers. Peace is precious. Without it, the children of God cannot learn, cannot grow in the knowledge of their heavenly Father, cannot attain to fellowship in the light. Mischief stirs up trouble and prevents peacefulness from being established in the family of God. Those who run toward mischief are running right into the hands of a furious God, a God who loves his children and will utterly destroy the peacebreakers with worse misery that they have brought upon others. Whether it be a backsliding believer or an unconverted sinner, all who run swiftly toward mischief are an abomination to God, just as all who strive to make peace are his delight. With the return of our Messiah so close to being a reality, who wouldn't want those words next to our name? Brother or sister so-and-so was a delight unto the Lord. It certainly sounds better than brother or sister so-and-so was a mischievous rebel-rouser sowing discord amongst whomever they could trap with their evil deeds. Let's consider some examples in our lives that relate to this verse we've been discussing, feet that are swift in running to mischief. This involves the tendency to follow a mob mentality, which leads people to loot stores during power outages or weather disasters. It also leads, for example, soccer fans to brawl with fans of opposing teams at games. It's common to see entire professional sports teams involved in brawls. Even parents of Little League teams get into fights with each other. They attack referees over a bad call or even their own team's coach if the kid's not playing or they're not getting what they want. Often people will run to witness such spectacles rather than try to maintain or restore the peace. Consider another trend. When teams win a sports title such as the Super Bowl or World Series, the celebrations following the victory sometimes turn into riots. Cars are burned and storefronts vandalized by intoxicated, celebrating sports fanatics. And when they get confronted about such behavior, their only logical response is, "We did nothing out of the ordinary. After all, this is kind of how we celebrate these days." A much more clearer example of this is all the terror we see in the world today. Terrorist groups thrive on running to mischief. Look at the way Israel's enemies plot against her daily. Groups like ISIS will face the wrath of the Almighty God of Israel when his fury arises in his face. Then God's enemies will see their reward for their ungodly mischief they've tried to promote throughout God's earth. What a day it shall be when God's will is performed in the earth and all the evilness allowed to exist temporarily is abolished under Christ's rule. We hope to be there with him, helping to fulfill his way in the earth. Another point that I think is worth mentioning is to think of what degree of mischief is the Bible discussing here. My wife Maria and I recently added a new member to our family. We got a little German Shepherd puppy that we adore. And as cute as he can be, he gets into mischief. The second I come home from work and let him out of his cage, all he seems to do is look for mischief. It can be anything from trying to bite his way through the bag of dog food when I'm not looking, or wreaking a bunch of havoc on our innocent little kitty who has been there longer than him, or hiding in a room chewing on a random piece of furniture all quietly until he is caught. We've recently learned we cannot take our eyes off him if he's prancing around the house. He will find something to get into that we do not want him getting into. As trying as he can be, we do love him. He's very cute and innocent so far. He's a puppy. We cut him some slack, realizing he does not know any better. The verses I described so far about one who deviseth wicked schemes or swiftly runs to mischief describe someone planning things in their heads as they lie in their bed at night. And this isn't so cute. We cannot be grown-ups or adults, baptized brothers and sisters, and be scheming things in our head to try to bring harm or evil to someone else's life and think that it's okay. If we are wise and responsible enough to enter the waters of baptism, we understand that there is a God in heaven who holds the book of life. Our names may be in it, but they can easily be removed. We must constantly be evaluating our lives to make sure we are walking in the way that leads to life eternal. Are we truly trying to be that reflection of Christ in all that we do every single day, 24/7, 365? It's a hard job to do, It takes constant effort, and there is no vacation from it. As humans, we battle this fleshly nature, which is like a ravenous beast warring against us every day. If this wild beast is not tamed by the daily readings, constant study, constant self-reflection, we are doomed. The flesh wants to satisfy the flesh, period. If we neglect to make it to the memorial meetings or make excuses for not being able to make it to our weekly study classes, we fool no one but ourselves. If we do things that will deteriorate the truth in our lives or other people's lives, how can we stand ready to give an account of our lives to the Lord Jesus, who may soon return? And just a quick side note and a little confession of my own stupidity. For years, my parents would go to Bible class on Wednesday nights. I had three other siblings, so often my mom or dad would go to class alone if it wasn't at our house that week. One parent, usually my mom, would stay home, make dinner for us kids, and let my dad do class on his way home from work. As I got older, I played sports for my school. I had practice every weekday after school. I was always busy. I was unbaptized at the time. And I was always excused from having to go to class because of my schedule. Years later, I was baptized, still not going to Bible class, though. One day I realized I could do Bible class if I made a few changes to my work schedule. I didn't have to work on the nights my ecclesia does Bible class in our area. Old habits turned into a lifestyle, and for a while I was blind to it. I was so used to my normal schedule. After deciding to start attending Bible class with my wife each week, I realize how important it is to my salvation and overall well-being. In fact, I need to be there. No excuse is good enough. No matter how tired I am after work, it is imperative for my own good to be there each week. Studying, learning, trying to grow. So I guess the moral of my story is to be willing to make the necessary changes that will help you be able to make it to the things that are necessary for your spiritual growth and salvation. Help yourself any way you can to keep busy in the work of the truth, and hopefully with Yahweh's help, we won't find the time to fall into mischief. The Apostle Paul made clear what our flesh has to offer. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is at a constant war within us, fighting the things of the Spirit. Let us not be caught off guard, especially in the days in which we live. There are so many signs, so much evidence of God's word being fulfilled before our eyes. How much do we have to see before we're convinced it's true? Hopefully, we've all seen enough and we're filling our lamps with oil daily. There is no time for us to allow mischievous things to occupy our time and take us away from the things of the truth. Keeping our focus on the verse at hand, dealing with feet that are swiftly running to mischief. Can you think of any Bible stories that can give a clear picture of someone involved with bringing mischief into someone else's life? Think about this for a few seconds, and I'll share the ones that stood out the most to me when I was writing this. Any examples of stories where someone is quick to run to mischief or cause harm in someone else's life? So some examples that I thought of, and I'll do three of them. We remember in Genesis the story of Cain and Abel. Cain was jealous of his brother's offering to God. God approved Abel's offering and wasn't pleased with Cain's. So what did Cain do? Cain killed his brother. There had to be some serious thought put into this mischievous scheme. Instead of taking some healthy criticism and following his brother's example, he decided it would be better to kill his brother and try hiding from God. A foolish plan full of mischief. Example number two is from the book of Genesis as well. It comes from the story of Joseph and his brothers who sold him into slavery. We remember the lies told and how they told Jacob their brother was attacked by a wild animal and they returned the coat of many colors drenched in blood. You can see all the planning put into it. They deceived their poor brother and father for years. One can imagine all the planning put into this mischievous scheme. The level they stooped to is despicable. These men were part of their immediate family. And this shouldn't surprise us with the flesh. And then the ultimate example I can think of is what Judas Iscariot did to his own friend and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Judas thought up an elaborate plan to betray his Lord and Savior. His mischievous scheme earned him 30 shekels of silver that shortly after gave him no value at all. Although this was all part of our Heavenly Father's master plan, Judas had allowed the temptations of life to come into his mind and destroy him. Mischief had such a strong hold of him, he threw away his chance of life eternal, and Jesus Christ was in his midst quite frequently. They broke bread together, he heard him preaching in person, yet the temptations in his life and the love of money was his downfall. We read the story of this event and see a sad ending. In the end, Judas Iscariot has no hope. His only choice that makes sense to him is to go to a field alone, and he hanged himself. If you need stronger proof of someone who plans mischief and intends to cause or bring evil to people, take a look at the daily news and what's going on with Russian President Vladimir Putin, who we think very well could be Gog of the land of Magog. And for those of you who may be unfamiliar with it, I'll read that real quick. It's not too long of a chapter. But this is something going on in our everyday life that you just turn on the TV and it's there. And you see what he's doing to all these random countries throughout the world. But this is God's plan. So verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarma of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited, and in the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people, against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at that same time shall these things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan and all the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? We see this great plan that he's talking about. What's he coming here for? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day when my people of Israel dwell safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me, when I shall be sanctified in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus saith the Lord God, Art thou he of whom I have spoken in old time by my servants the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them? And it shall come to pass at that same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth And all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. In Ezekiel 38, here we see a prophecy that is close to being fulfilled. The Russian bear is once again on the prowl. In just a short time period, this king of the north has overtaken Georgia, Crimea, and has started a war in Ukraine, trying to get key pieces of territory back under Russian control. He has come into the war-torn area of Syria as of late to back up his ally, Bashar al-Assad, ruler of Syria. We know this man is on a vengeful path, trying to cause fear and panic as he seeks to overtake many lands and make Russia a superpower once more. We see our own nation's foreign policy and how they're trying to keep a presence in the Middle East, but no one respects us over there. It's fair to say they hate us. Putin has gone to Syria in just a matter of weeks with his evil scheme, has set up shop with his military equipment, jets, bombers, multiple aircraft carriers, numerous weapons deals with many countries. He's got his hand in the dish with everybody, even the Pope. He's deceiving and conniving, out for his own good, and he is doing a very good job at it. This topic is a lecture in itself, and since I'm not talking about current events, I'll leave it at that. It's just interesting to see in the signs of the times we see going on around us. The leader of Russia, or Gog, of the land of Magog, is prophesied to be one who fits the description of one who is swift in running to mischief. He is moving fast. This should serve as a warning to all of us. He is an enemy of God, although he is carrying out Yahweh's plan. He will come to an end in God's appointed time. One who seeks to cause mischief to anyone inside or outside of the truth has no place in the body of Christ. Christ is the example or blueprint that we are trying so desperately to form our characters into in this short time of probation that our Heavenly Father has so graciously blessed us with. Take a look around you, not in this room, but in the world in which we live, our day-to-day lives. The world is full of wickedness and full of evil. We are living as in the days of Noah. Terrorism consumes the Middle East, and it seems as though Israel is alone with no one to help her, wondering where the next rocket will land sent from her enemies. The past few weeks, every day, it seems there is another Jewish person stabbed in Israel by a Palestinian, as fears grow concerning the start of a third intifada. We long for the day when Christ returns to this earth to abolish all iniquity and consume those who swiftly run to cause mischief. The signs of the times tell us that our Master's return is at the door. Are you ready to be called to judgment? May we be considered one of the peacemakers. May our account be one that reflects the character of Christ. May we be considered one of those who hated mischief and ran from it when it seemed like it was trying to reel us in. Our time is too short to be caught up in the evilness of this age. So what are we doing to prove we don't desire mischief in our lives? Let us not forget the things we are being exhorted about, brothers and sisters, are described as an abomination unto God. He hates it. We saw the fate of Cain, the embarrassment of Joseph's brethren, and the shame and suicide of Judas Iscariot after betraying Christ to mischief. It's not what we want. That will not get us an eternity in God's kingdom. So remember, when you think you may be in a mischievous mood or entertaining the spirit of mischief, run from it. I will close reading Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.